This show is a proud member of
the TechPodcast.com network.
Find out more about this and other shows at
www.techpodcast.com.
TechPodcast.com.
If it's tech, it's here.
Source Trunk. Your trunkload of open source.
Hi, and welcome to Source Trunk episode 15, recorded on the 7th of February 2007. This podcast will try to show the listeners the more practical examples of open source and free software. I will do this by taking random open source software and give it a little review. With this episode, I will be drinking an Affligem Double. Affligem is the name of the city where it is brewed in, and it's a brown ale, dark malt sweet beer. It has 6.8% of alcohol, and I'm not going to tell you anything more about it because you really have to visit the website of the Affligem Double, and that's on affligembeer.be. The links are, as always, on sourcetrunk.com, and you really have to go because the site has everything that a good beer site needs, all the information you need about beers in a very, very nice package. You even have monks singing really, really old songs on the website. You have nice graphics. Just go there. It's I'm not sponsored by them. It's just a really nice site just to check out. I'm going to check out the beer first. Not bad at all. I didn't know this one. I think I'm going to enjoy this one. Okay, let's go.
System tools.
Synergy. I'll start by giving the description of the word synergy. According to the Synergy website, it says, synergy is a noun, a mutually advantageous conjunction of distinct elements. Okay, so synergy tries to make a unified desktop illusion. The problem with my setup at work. That's how it all started. I have two laptops at work. I use my MacBook Pro, and I have a compact laptop with Microsoft Windows Professional on it. Now, the chair I'm sitting on is not one of the best, so every time I switch from a laptop, I have to turn the chair, switch my elbows a bit on the desk. And, you know, we geeks can get pretty bitchy about how we sit in front of our computers. So if you have to switch laptops constantly, well, you get really, really annoyed by this. And then I heard something on Geek Muse. Geek Muse is a podcast, a technical podcast, where they discuss all things technical in a really nice way, and you can visit them on geekmuse.net, by the way. And they were discussing synergy, the use of synergy, and I just installed it on my break in so little time. I just needed a little time to install it, and let's explain what it does exactly. So I have my two laptops on my physical desktop, and I wanted to control them as if I would be using a virtual single screen. I just wanted one keyboard and one mouse to control both of the laptops. So what you do is you just let Synergy know how many screens you have, and then you can just hop your mouse pointer from one screen to another. So in my case, I use my MacBook Pro, I use its keyboard and its mouse, and I just go to the left of my screen of my MacBook, and my mouse pointer hops over to the Microsoft Windows machine, all controlled by the keyboard and the mouse of the MacBook Pro. Now, isn't this wonderful? This is cool. This is really cool. And then you can start working on the other screen. The only thing you have to turn from your body are your eyes, or just you have to tilt your head a bit to look at the other screen, but your fingers stay on the same computer. You can turn it around. If you rather use your Microsoft Windows laptop, then you could just switch it and hop your mouse pointer over to the other screen in this case, the MacBook Pro. Are you following? Are you getting this? Okay, try to explain it a bit more. Of course, you can not only do this with a MacBook and a Microsoft Windows machine, you can mix all sorts of operating systems with this method. I will get back to that as well. So that's my solution. Only use it with two computers. You can have as many computers as you want. The only necessity is that you can see the screens. You can imagine, for example, a desk with computers and screens above you and on the left of you and on the right of you, like some little systems admin freaky control room. And then you can control them all with one mouse, one keyboard. You can hop from one screen to the other. So I think this is clear. The installation is really, really simple. They are just little programs, super easy to config, super easy config files. There's a very good documentation on the site. Like I stated earlier, I just installed the whole setup in a tiny break of 20 minutes. The setup is in this way. You have one machine that acts as a server, and then you have multiple clients. So I could have my MacBook, and I could have a Microsoft Windows machine on the left. I could have a FreeBSD on the right. I could have a Solaris above me, and the three computers all around my MacBook could be clients to the MacBook, and I could hop over to all of those screens controlled by the MacBook Pro, of course. The configuration file is really, really easy. The only thing you have to state in the synergy.conf file of the server are the names of the different computers, the screen names, their locations. Where are they located? For example, you can say my XP is on the left of my server, my Sun Solaris is on the top of my server, and my Windows machine is on the left of my server. And then you just have to give the IP addresses. My XP can be found at that IP address. You start the server on, for example, the MacBook. You just type in the command synergy s-c synergy.conf to show the Synergy as the server program what your configuration file is. And on the other computers, you just connect to the server with the Synergy C of the client and the IP address of the server. And that's it. It works. They all connect, and you just can interoperate between the different operating systems. Isn't that cool? When I'm talking about the server, okay, it's a server, but it's just a little tiny server program that that works in the background or in the foreground. So don't see it as a very big installation. It's really tiny. Practical use. Well, first I used this as a gimmick. I heard it on GeekMuse and I found it funny to try it out. I found it interesting to try it out. It was something to show the colleagues, but after 2 hours of working with it, it wasn't a joke anymore. I need the damn thing on a daily basis now. You can't only control the other computers with it. You can cut and paste text, HTML, bitmap information in between the different operating systems. For example, you have a log file open on your Microsoft Windows machine and you just want to cut and paste some log files into your mail application that is running on your MacBook. So you just hop over from the MacBook to the Microsoft Windows machine with your mouse pointer, you select the text you want to copy, you copy it, Control C, you go back to the Mac and you Apple V paste it in your mail application. It's as easy as this. No more network folders to use as a transport or something like that. No more mailing of little snippets of code from one operating system to another via a mail client. You can just cut and paste from one machine to another. Not only that, you can synchronize your screensavers as well. If you're playing a game on one machine and you don't want a mouse pointer to disappear to another computer while you are playing, then you just have to double hit scroll lock, and then the whole operation stops. They even thought about a new line conversion between operating systems. Everything is done in Unicode, so there is no problem there as well. This is nice. I said that already, didn't I? Okay. Now, the reactions I get from colleagues and friends by using this software, they really depend on the kind of IT person who is watching this phenomena. Some IT people are very, very nervous with this phenomena. The synergy of different sorts of operating systems like this, I must admit at first it got me a little nervous as well. For other ITers, for other IT people, they really, really immediately love the idea and start installing the thing just right away. I can imagine a little prank to do would be to install the client on a neighbor laptop without him without telling him, and when he comes over to you to show you something or talk about something, then you could just hop over to his laptop and show him what you are talking about. That could be really, really cool, or really, really a very fast way to get fired. Okay, while I use the Combo OS X Windows XP at work, with the OS X MacBook Pro as a server, I do the same thing at home, because I take only my MacBook Pro at home, and there I use the combination Debian Workstation MacBook Pro. Still, my MacBook Pro is the server. The only thing I have to do is start my little server on the MacBook Pro with another configuration, my home configuration, which is only a few lines of code, really. Okay, some things about the stability of this software. I find this software very, very stable. I've been using it for a week now, and I'm very, very satisfied. I have to take over big production servers with remote desktop on the XP. I do the same thing with VNC and Apple remote desktop on my Apple computer. And while I'm doing this, while I have these production servers running on my screens, I use Synergy to hop from one production server to another. And I'm not at the least nervous about this. I know that Synergy is just doing what it should, and it doesn't bother me at all. I even got the thing working with Parallels, but that's a whole complete other story. So it's very stable. You shouldn't be afraid of using this in a working environment. You should rather be afraid of the reactions you will get from colleagues. Okay, some negative aspects and wish lists. Well, it's not really negative, but something that is worth mentioning, and that they mention on the site as well as a warning. There is no authentication protocol with Synergy. So if your config file for the server contains a host name of somebody else's machine, he can start a client and be open for your computer. So this is not really a problem. The worst that could happen to you is that you are hopping over to his screen and controlling his computer. This is very important. All the data goes unencrypted. Now, this can be a problem. Okay, so you're not using this over the internet, which is for the obvious reasons. The computers have to be on the same physical desk. But still, do not clipboard sensitive data. Do not clipboard passwords or mails or something you wouldn't want to see show up in If For Real or other TCP dumpers. I'm sure that sysadmins know what I'm talking about, but for you people who don't really know what the problem here is, all network traffic that is unencrypted, so that is just in plain text, can be intercepted by malicious users. So you should find a way to encrypt the data if you're going to use it with sensitive data. And on the side of Synergy, they give you a possibility, which is called OpenSSH. You can use a secure shell. You can tunnel the data on the port 24800, that is the Synergy port, and they give you the little instruction how to do that. So you, if you want to, you can encrypt your data anyhow. I will do a little episode, well, a big episode on OpenSSH in the future. So keep an eye out for that one as well. The wish lists, well, something that immediately pops into your mind is I want to drag and drop files and folders from one operating system to another. That would really be nice, but it's very, very complex and it's not implemented. What they on the side would like to do is that you can use the mouse and keyboard on one screen and on multiple computers so that you can roll the screens before your monitor. In my opinion, this is too much. But if you're interested in those kind of features, look at the future link on the Synergy site on the left. There they discuss all things that they want to do with Synergy in the future. The offer, well, the offers. The most important one seems to be Chris Schunemann. He's the creator and the owner and a primary developer. Then you have Ryan Breen, Guido Posta, Bertrand Landry-Hetu, I hope I'm pronouncing this correctly, Tom Chadwick, and Brent Pretty. Some tips when you are first time installing this, put the server and the client in the foreground with the dash F option when you're testing, so you get some feedback about what is going wrong. Put the names of your machines, DNS names, host names, as aliases in the config. Synergy is quite picky about this. If it gets a request from a computer and it doesn't know its name, its resolving name, then it won't give it access. So if you keep the client or the server in foreground, you will see this information. Don't be afraid when a mouse pointer is still hovering over your OS X screen. When you hop to another client, that's a known issue. So you still see the little mouse pointer, but it isn't doing anything. With OS X as well, you can only drag and drop text. No HTML, no bitmap information, but hey, that's a minor issue. The availability, it's available for everything Microsoft Windows 95, 98, ME, if you are using ME. I'm very sorry for you, but if you're using ME, you can use it as well. Windows NT, Windows 2000, Windows XP, you can use it on a Mac OS X 10.2 or higher. Everything Unix. They didn't test it with everything Unix, but it should be working on everything Unix, including Linux. The latest release is 1.3.1. You can get it at Synergy 2, that's the number 2.sourceforge.net. Links on sourcetrunk.com. The license is GNU General Public License. And you can support it by using the forum on their site for information sharing. And there's also a donate button on their site. So please use it if you really, really like the software. And if you don't feel like donating, well, that's just fine. But brag about the software as much as you can to as many people as you can.
The little extra.
Media Player Classic. Remember me whining about not having an ARC player on my Windows XP machine? Yeah, sure you do. Well, I got an email from Douglas Hunter from the UK, and he gave me a link to Media Player Classic, which was amongst other links he gave me about everything from ripping CDs to playing ARC formats, which was very, very useful. What is the Media Player Classic? Well, it looks just like the old Windows Media Player 6.4. If you remember the little white rectangle that looks like a cinema clapboard, well, that's the one. Under the hood, it's all open source, baby. It's really, really cool. It's a little executable. And when you open it, well, it looks just like the old one. It's got the same graphical user interface, the menu items. You have file, view, play, navigate, favorites, that freaky organization of menu items. But the features are really, really nice. Nothing like the old Microsoft Media Player. It can play VCD, SVCD, DVDs, and you don't have to install additional codecs. One little tiny executable, 5.4 megabytes or more, I think. It's just that one executable. It has got MPEG-2 video support, subtitle support, LPCM, MP2, AC3, DTS audio support, MP4, MPEG-4. It has got AAC playback, so it makes it an alternative for Winamp and iTunes. It's got DirectShow, DivX, XFit, H.264, QuickTime. It even can play Real Player. But this one has to be installed on your computer, though. But all the rest, no problem. And not only those formats, but as well, and that's what I needed for, AUG. It just plays AUG. It even plays Matroska. And if you have a TV tuner in your computer, well, it will play that TV tuner as well. Isn't that nice? The old Microsoft media player is now transformed into an open source media player classic. This is cool. Well, it's really weird. It looks like like an old Microsoft application, something as old like MS Paint, but it gives you the latest in functionality. Think of it like a Wurlitzer jukebox in your living room with inside a full-blown Linux-driven media center. This is super. I'm keeping this on my work laptop, and this gives my colleagues something to discuss about as well. That's where I get my kicks from. Okay, some negative aspects. Well, I have found nothing whatsoever, so let's skip this. The author is Gabist. The availability. Well, this executable is Windows only, of course. The latest release is 6.4.9.0. You can get it at sourceforge.net/projects/GulliverClee. Links in the show notes. And when you go to that site, you see a lot of open source software, not only this little media player. So you really want to keep this project's site on your in your bookmarks. I'm just going to read some of the stuff this author and maybe some other people have made. An ASF to Matroska recorder, AV to AC3 filter, an AV splitter. I'm skipping. FLV splitter, you have a Matroska muxer, you have, of course, the Media Player Classic, and so on. Just go visit all the other software this project has to offer. The license is GPL, and you can support it by making a little donation on the website. And of course, if you like the software, tell your friends about it. So thank you, Douglas, for this really nice application. And speaking of listener feedback, I got a lot of email and some posts even on the site concerning CD rippers and different AUG players for Windows. That is, of course, as a result of episode 14. So a big thank you for all this information. I'm taking my time testing it out. In this way, with all the feedback, it's really easy for me to choose the right software to discuss. Stuff that you listeners already have used and are very positive about, that makes it easy for me to browse through the vast amount of open source software. But I still like to get lost on sourceforge.net or freshmeat.net to do my own shopping, though. But your feedback is really priceless. Thanks again, and keep it coming. Do you have a nice open source app? Do you know about a nice open source app that you would like covered so other people know about it? Well, leave your comments on sourcetrunk.com or mail me directly via sourcetrunk@gmail.com. I'm leaving you with Independent, performed by Chance. Thanks for your time and good hunting.
Your mind at ease, or your body with- got say it, but your friends don't like. So they're gonna pick a fight, 'cause you'll never get it right. It's all useless, and they know.